So, welcome to a new episode of Metal Minds, the Pit Unplugged, the space for music, meaning and everything that resonates between the notes. My name is Diana Heinbucher and I'm guiding you to today's pit. And today, it's an absolutely honor to have these beautiful and lovely spreading people around me and with me. Today we are talking about resistance, love, courage, diversity, and a band that truly embodies all of this, the Iron Roses. Just 1 week ago, they released their explosive new single, Class War Gear Squad. And if you're now listening to the podcast, it's a little bit longer. But they also announced their upcoming EP, Agitopop, without a label, without compromise, but with everything that truly matters, heart, intention, energy. Yes. Okay, I'm deeply honored and excited to welcome Ned and Becky today.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
What a wonderful introduction.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I almost cried a little bit.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it's from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you.
You lit a fire with Class War's Cheer Squad, raw energy, empowering. What was the moment you knew this song has to be released right now?
Ooh. Ooh. I feel like right when we wrote it, like it was one of those ones where we're like, whoa.
Well, it was funny because I feel like we were writing for a longer album, but that one kept sticking out as the first song.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Kept sticking out as the first song on the album, you know? So when we decided, okay, we're going to put out like this three-song EP, it was obvious that that song needed to come first, especially with the material behind it and what it's about, felt that it needed to be said. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we have a very different perspective musically than a lot of bands that speak up about political issues. It's not so much angry as it is celebratory. Mm-hmm. And so we, yeah.
Yeah.
You?
No, yeah, the same thing. I mean, we had something to say, but I think more than that, like, we were feeling the palpable, like, frustration around us in our community, and we really needed to right now give people something that they could use as kind of like a rallying cry. Like, that's why we leaned on the cheer theme of it, like, encouraging people, like, yes, this is terrible, like, let's all lean into it together and overcome it. So
yes, that is the term. Cheer Squad might sound playful at first, but you gave it a powerful and revolutionary way twist. What does that title mean to you personally?
Well, for us, I feel it means that we don't lose our joy because of the awfulness around us. And that I feel like I think we all feel it's so important and necessary to maintain that joy and not allow assholes to take it away from you. Because I feel like that's what abusive and oppressive people want. They want to spoil your joy. They want you to be sad like they are, you know?
Yes, yes.
And so when you're not and you're happy, not only are you happy and joyful, but you don't mince words. You say exactly what you mean and you don't dodder in what you're saying, you know? But that's what it means to me. And that's why we combine the sort of the idea of, I mean, that's what we are, right? As a band, we're cheerleaders.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're not much more than elevated cheerleaders. So so we're doing our part.
Yeah. Yeah. You cheer our way.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Okay. And the name of your upcoming EP, Agitopop, is a statement in itself. But how would you define Agitopop? What themes, what musical paths did you explore there?
I mean, I think, again, like, it's this great combination of the two parts of what makes the Iron Roses, which is that, like, you keep talking about the revolutionary, the statement, the insistence on something better and trying to bring a community together against a system, but keeping it very joyful. So the pop part was, you know, something cheeky that we wanted to add to it to make it not too heavy-handed. Because I think that sometimes when you have a lot to say politically, sometimes it can accidentally alienate people who feel like maybe they don't outwardly have like the strongest presence or voice. And I think wrapping it in the way that we do and with that title really allows it to be something that anybody can grab onto. Mm.
To work on this EP, how was the creative process for you? Does the creative process comes from a place of emotionally urgency, or was it to release pressure or something like this?
All of the above. I think that, you know, like I was saying, we were just writing for a much longer album, and it was like, this is it. We have to get this stuff out. We can't wait till we've written 10 songs, 12 songs. Yeah. This is the stuff that needs to be said right now. Yeah. And we felt like we were not doing our job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By sitting back and not putting out the words that needed to be said right now, that, you know, waiting on a label, waiting on stuff like that. It's mm-hmm. just so sort of gross. Yeah. Yeah. To worry about that right now when there's things that need to be yeah. said and people that need to hear it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some bands told this, that they don't want to wait the whole process, because they say, if we have new music, I want to release the new music.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always that, of course. Yeah. Like, the just you've created something that you want to get out into the yeah. world. But I think that's always going to be there. And it was, of course, some of that. It'd be silly to say that it wasn't just, yeah. you know, wanting to get something out there, but it really was like, this needs to be said and heard right now. We yeah. need to be saying this right now. Like, yeah. we know we've got shows coming up. We have a platform already. We need to be saying these things right now. And so we just took that power in our own hands and did it.
Mm-hmm. What strikes me most is that your music doesn't just sound like protest. It feels like collective release, raw, yet warm, direct, mm-hmm. yet layered. And that brings us to something very close to my heart, what we dropped right now. You release your EP, or you release the music without any label support. Mm-hmm. And what led you to this decision?
We knew that we could. We knew that we had the ability and patience and drive. Well, I wouldn't say patience, because that's why we had the ability and the drive internally to do it ourselves. And it was like, there's something extra special about having songs so strongly, you know, speaking against systems of oppression and things like that, and then also taking those songs into our own hands to put them into the world. So it was like, it was almost like, I don't even really think we had much of a discussion. It was like, these songs need to come out right now. We know how to do this. Yeah. We can do this.
Literally everybody in the band went, fuck yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Like, nothing would feel, you know, more satisfying than to put out our music ourselves on our timeline when we're ready, mm-hmm. you know, and it has been going way better than we anticipated.
Yeah, like, we did so. Not expect the response, to be honest.
Like, okay. So, yeah, it's been pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And it feels very gratifying. It was very stressful because, you know, we decided to do it after we left Europe last on the reconstruction tour, which was at the end of May.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got back like the first weekend of June, I think. And we were home for 6 weeks. And in that time was when we decided to release the music. So we had to put together a release plan while we're, you know, getting ready for the next tour here. So it was like a very short timeline. We decided to do it, pulled the trigger, and made it happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You said this was a short time to for decision, or mm-hmm. between the release and the decision,
mm-hmm.
and was there a feeling of release or liberation?
Liberation is a great word.
Especially when you start seeing how it connects with people, and like the numbers of people getting the song, you know what I mean? We have three songs coming out. We'll play them all tonight.
Yeah.
But there's only one out right now. And the response just to that one song, and then seeing like every night people already knowing it and singing along, like it makes you feel like you did the right thing, you know? So you always have that, like, this is what I want to do, did we do it right? You know? And you put it out and then you're like, holy shit, we did it right. Oh no. Right. That's great. Like, you know, so it's very, I think either way, we would have been proud of ourselves. But the fact that it's getting the response that it's getting is just takes it to a whole new level where it's like, it's actually connecting with people, you know, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about this earlier where, sorry. Get all of the microphones, where it's not just ma'am, sit on your hands. It's not just the people who already know and love us that love the song. It's what's getting me very excited is how much of them are sharing it with their own communities, their own friends. You know, that is the mark for me. It's like we know that we've done something important to us, and people are also receiving that and want people that they know to hear it. So that's where the ball starts kind of rolling downhill. And that's to me what something that's really a mark of something good.
So sorry. So something that is also very exciting to me because I'm old and being from a time period where it was very hard to get out music, like to a broader audience, you know what I mean? You could get it out to a smaller audience, but to a broader audience, and to have a song that's so politically driven, says the word fuck so many times and is talking about class war and fucking up Nazis and shit like that. Like, and to have it go so well is like, oh my God, how did that work? Like, yeah, they like say, like, it's not like the old days where you had to worry about radio play and stuff like that. Now it's just like, it's nice. It's nice to have that freedom.
It's an important point because I've also written here down what does we living in a time of algorithms and short attention spans, and how do you overcome this to spread your message?
You adapt.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, this is like one of my babies. Yeah. Like in terms of like how we approach the quote unquote business of the band is not getting stuck in the way things have always been. Like people don't consume music the way that they used to, and to not lean into that and roll with it is just getting in your own way. So, you know, people want music delivered to them immediately, and they also don't want to wait, you know, 3 years between album cycles too. They're going to get tired of hearing the same album from us too. So it's very important that we lean into the changes in the way that music is made, music is delivered, and music is marketed. And so that's something that we're very like, well, it's we, but yeah.
It is we. It's just that you're the leader of that. You know, she's the boss in that regard, and it helps us because the rest of us don't really understand it that much. But it's taught me also to not be that grumpy old unmoving person that's like cursing the darkness instead of lighting a match. You know what I mean? Okay. And going, hey, some of this stuff is just how you have to do things now, and if you don't, you just sound like an asshole. If you just sit around like, oh, these days you can't do music this way, well, then fuck off and don't do it, you know? Get out of the way. We'll do it, you know? So it's taught me a lot as an old haggard old woman.
Yeah, but sometimes the musicians said it 20 years before, 30 years before. We did it in another way.
Yeah.
And but the most musicians, the most creative people are adaptable.
Yeah, you adapt. Yeah. Exactly.
You also have the potential for such a bigger audience than you did 20 years ago. Yeah. Like, think of it that way. You know, every time I look and see where people are listening to our music, if we had released on a CD or a cassette and we had to go to people's town to get them to play that or hope that they turn into a radio station at the right time to hear it. Like, it's so easy to get music out there if you care enough about making it happen.
And as governments and authority becomes more right wing and awful, people tend to look for the rebellion against that. And they want to see someone standing up and not being quiet about it. And we are anything but quiet about it. So, and not only that, but also, like I said before, I really think that the joy and the fun of it attracts them because they're like, oh, we can hate this shit, but at the same time, we can also dance and have a good time. And like, the rebellion is fun. The rebellion isn't this tired, old, angry thing. Mm. You know, it's something that we can laugh in these people's faces, you know?
Yeah. your music is both loud and gentle. Not just sonically, but emotionally. And you speak in songs and interviews about many that many would rather avoid. And that makes your voice even more essential. And now let us shift to the next part of the interview. Let us come to mental health and self-care. And so at first, I want to ask you, how are you today as people, as Ned and Becky, and not as a band or as a brand?
Well, I mean, everybody wants you dead out there, so.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, I mean, it's not great. You know, I like 2 years ago came out as trans, and it's been a thing, you know, besides in my own country. Like she said, my government wants me dead. Yeah. They do not want me to exist, you know, and that is a rough thing to like when you're growing up, obviously being a radical and stuff, you're like, I hate the government, you know, but to know that the authority figures in your country literally want you dead is awful, you know? So that has a, that takes a big toll on mentally. And then to like go out into the world touring, like whether it's in the US or even I was telling her, I noticed like in, I'd say more conservative areas in Germany, like, mostly anywhere in Bavaria, you know, you get a lot of stares and a lot of like, and people that will just like, stare at you, like not like a quick fucking look, you know, like hello, like I see you staring right at me, fuck off, like, you know, but past that, then you're also going to tackle other mental health issues with any tour. It doesn't really matter whether you're trans, you're female, you're queer, you're whatever, no matter what, touring's difficult. You know, this job is not, and we've learned that having a revolving door with this band, we finally found the right people, you know what I mean? That this is what they want for their lives. But a lot of people are like, hell yeah, I want to go on tour. And then they go on tour and they're like, fuck no, I don't want to be here, you know?
I was just clearing my... That was very abruptly ended.
You're like... In the middle of it.
I ran out of what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
But on that note, I mean, touring...
Yeah. It's weird because, like, I was thinking just about... You know, I made the joke in jest about how people are, you know, in our country are approaching.
Yeah.
And I think I've, you know, I'm... How old? 47? I forgot how old I was the other day. Yeah. But I'm getting personally to a place of my life where I have done a lot of healing and I'm not afraid to use my voice anymore. And so I keep catching myself like, have I always been this pissed off at everything?
Yeah.
And I think I have. Yeah. I just haven't felt
so vocal.
Yeah, not so vocal about it. So for me, you know, I've got, you know, Nat's family to me. I've got a trans daughter also, and I am a woman. And so for me, it's a weird time in the world because it's like, well, they've always wanted, you know, less for me. Yeah. So now it's like, I need to turn around and protect the other, you know, the rest of the world that isn't, hasn't always been fighting so hard, but yes, we, you know, we're on tour and that is lovely. It's very interesting to me what you said about people staring at you in Bavaria. Cause I think about like, say Hamburg. Mm-hmm. Hamburg has like, well, a lot of cities do, but you see a lot of the pride stickers or anti-Nazi stickers and things like that. And when we walk around, I feel like I see a lot of visuals of how people are open. But then I do see you get stared at and I don't understand, like I can't quite grasp where the disconnect there is. And I feel like when we're walking, I don't outwardly see a lot of queer people either. So there's just something I'm...
So I have to be extra.
Yeah, you got to make up for it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's important what you said. Sometimes it feels like all only visuals, and they don't feel it by heart.
Yeah, that's confusing. Yeah. I noticed that. I think when we were here in May, I it was the first time I really, I wouldn't say disconnect because that's a very negative thing, but it's just interesting to me that I do see a lot of we're here, we're, you know, we're, you're welcome here, but then I don't quite feel that walking down the street so much.
I think that sometimes the disconnect is in, it's easy to put up a sticker. It's not easy at family dinner to tell your dad to fuck off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
It absolutely has to happen. And I remember saying this on stage before, I think we were in Berlin or whatever, but the necessity of not shutting up when you go home, when you go to work, when you're hanging out with your friends, you know, but like I said, it's so easy to slap up a sticker or say this, that, or the other thing in safe company. We need people to start saying things in unsafe company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing from our last interview gets me there that I also have the button for you are safe with
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's right here.
Right here.
Yes. And because you said the last time it's important to show up for the people, to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided it's a very small symbol, but I think the right people will see it and feel safer in this way.
That's much more personal than seeing a sticker on a pole. Like,
yeah.
That tells me, like, somebody in the area might be safe, but it doesn't tell me who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's on your person, you know, that's a good person, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I get so much feedback on this button.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And I think every time, I think it's so normal for me to be there for the people. But for the most people, isn't it normal to be a safe space for other people. And so it's very important to speak about it.
Yeah.
To go on in this discourse and to encourage more people to show up and to speak out. And
even more important than, like, say, me seeing something like that. I'm a grown-ass adult. I can take care of myself. But there are kids out there who are struggling hard at home, and they can't be who they are.
Yeah.
They go out into the world. They see something like that. They realize that there's a bigger world out there. It's so important for kids to realize that it's a bigger world, and their school and their family isn't all there is.
Yeah. Nothing to add. but we came from the topic of mental health.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can share how you stay grounded in this world that's often so overwhelming and chaotic.
I don't.
We like to joke that we have to take turns being a mess. Yeah. It's very rare that we are a mess at the same time, but sometimes you just have to be like, okay, it has to be my day. I need to be a mess today. But I, you know, mental health and wellness comes in waves. And I think the easiest piece of advice around that is just to know that it will get better, but then it also may get worse, and that's okay. Like, you know what I mean? It's going to continually be a cycle. Yes. And that is okay. And that is normal. It is normal to feel really good for a little bit and then feel really shitty again. Mm-hmm. And then just keep in mind that when you're really shitty, it will get good again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think giving yourself the room to ride that wave is very important.
Also good to note that when you're good, it can crash again, so that you don't think, oh, I'm better.
Yeah.
It's not how it works.
Stop taking your meds.
Yeah, do not stop taking your meds. Go to therapy. Keep going.
Yes.
Yeah, it's quite important because I think as we grown up, we get told that everything needs to be perfect.
Oh, fuck no.
And everything needs to be nice, and that there are not the up and downs. And
yeah, no.
So, but real life is up and down.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so, yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't like that one.
Okay, but I read the question and think, oh, we talked about already, but I need to say it anyway, the Iron Roses feel more like a chosen family than just a band, mm-hmm. a living, a breathing community, a safe space for all white hearts out there. And why do you choose to be that anchorage or to have this courage to give these all the people this safe space? Where does it come from?
Comes from when we were little, yeah. and we needed that. I know, like we needed that. We still do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it, we have to.
Yeah,
that's
they didn't have that, so they yeah. to provide it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Sorry. Right, okay. That is very, very important to, like, we're not just here to play music at people.
Yeah.
We are here to create a space for people to be messy and show up. You don't have to be cool at our show. You don't have to be having a good day. Like,
yeah. And for everybody on that stage to be seen, like not just us, everybody yeah. that's up there, because everybody in this band has a different personality, is a different individual and part of this collective. And maybe if you don't see yourself in me or in Becky, maybe you will in Devin or Colin or Pedro, yeah. you know, or Michael.
Yeah.
And that's really important to us as well, is that everybody on that stage has their own individual thing and they are free to be who they are.
And that I like it so much that if I see you on stage, I see individuals.
Yeah. Yes.
And this mm-hmm. is so cool.
Because yeah. that's how the world is. We all are individuals, yeah. but we all also need each other.
Yeah.
And we need to allow that individuality while at the same time not trying to be that rugged individual that doesn't need anyone.
Yeah.
We are both, yeah. you know. And it. Oh, go on.
I think in these times, it is more than important to show up, to show our color, to sparkle out there. When I listen to you or when we listen to your music remind us that music isn't just entertainment. It can comfort, it can challenge, heal, and maybe even change us by giving the light from person to person. And what do you hope would people feel when they hear your music or later listen to Agitopop?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, the initial response, obviously, I would love for them to be like, wow, that's fucking fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like just like bopping their head yeah, and like, yeah. yeah. And oh, then yeah. let, as that happens, the message slowly yeah. soaks yeah. in and then they start reaching into more music by us and start looking us up and seeing what we're about and all that stuff. But if we can grab them with a good hook, hell yeah. Like, that's mm-hmm. what I really want. And it's something that I learned from bands like Chumbawamba. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, seriously, like, they, brilliant band, like, who had all the hooks, all the that pop sensibility, and they did it quite purposefully to bring people in and to get people interested in what they were doing and then hit them with that message. And then they did special things with that message and when the money they received from it. And they've always been an inspiration for me. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's really as much as I could think. I yeah. mean, my part in songwriting is finding the hook is like, you know, that pop hook that everybody's going to sing along yeah. to is like my thing. So that is important to me. I think that some bands would act like they don't care about that. Well, then, why put out music if you don't care what it sounds like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just very like, if like we'll sit when we're writing and like, I'll play it. And like, if I like it, then I'll give it to Becky or one of the others. And like, does it stick in your head? Like, is that it? And they'll either love it or they'll be like, eh, you can do better, you know, like, and it's great.
Yeah.
And so that's important to us, but then past that, comes the part that once you've got it stuck in their head and once they're dancing around and having fun, they then want to explore what you're about. And that's what I hope.
Mm-hmm. And you, Becky?
I think that sometimes as musicians, as artists, that we forget that not everybody has the language that we do or the ability to express themselves the way that we do. And I think that's one of the really cool things about being an artist, is that you get to provide somebody who maybe doesn't have that piece of them the ability to speak what's inside of them outwardly. Like when they're singing along to a song, like somebody might be singing those words that they feel that, you know, in every bit of their soul, but they don't have the language or the confidence to say those things out loud. But you wrap it in a hook, and we're not afraid to be pop. I don't give a shit. You wrap that into something that feels good for them and they can sing. That's what I love about watching people sing along to our songs at shows, because I know a lot of our fans, you know, parasocially through social media, and I know that not all of them are like us. They're not extroverted or, you know,
or even artistic.
Right. Yeah. And so when we are giving them a way to express the things that they're already thinking and feeling in a way that feels safe and comfortable to them, like that's so much. That's huge to me. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. And before we came to the end, we will do a little quick fire round. What made you laugh out loud most recently?
The fact that we're both holding this microphone.
Yes. Right. We find reasons to laugh out loud pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. Between us and these goons in the band. Yes. There's always something that one of us is doing that makes us laugh out
especially
loud.
Especially when we're tired.
Yes. Oh my God, you should see her when she gets tired. It's terrifying.
Okay, and what's your go-to song for dark days?
Oh,
Poker Face, Lady Gaga. Think fast. It's a lightning round.
I'm bad at this. I'm so bad at this. I overthink when I'm put on the spot and timed.
Poker Face.
Poker Face.
We're still both holding the mic.
I know.
What DIY means to you?
Means I'm doing all the work.
Yeah, it means Becky's doing all the work.
What color does Akitu Pop have?
Red.
But like a raspberry red.
Yeah. Raspberry beret. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay. We're back. Okay.
And what are you no longer afraid of?
Oh.
Now I'm going to think about it and I'm going to be afraid of it again.
Spiders. No. I mean, I'm no longer afraid to be who I am. You know, I'm just out here fucking doing it. And there's obviously little fears that come along with it. But... fuck everybody. I'm just doing it. So, yeah.
I'm not afraid to speak up anymore.
Yeah.
That's been a big one for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm still afraid of rats, though. I hate rats. They do that.
I'm afraid of monkeys.
Scurry thing.
Okay. God, I think we're getting off task.
Sorry.
Okay.
We are finished. The quick questions.
Did we win?
And yeah. Okay. You won everything.
Yay! Everything!
Okay, you didn't just release new songs, you gave people courage. You remind us to show up, speak up, stay soft, and stay loud. Thank you for your sound. Thank you for your words. But most of all, thank you for being exactly who you are.
Aww.
Thank you.
That was very sweet.
This was The Iron Roses. Go check out Glosswar Cheer Squad. Stay tuned for Agitpop. My name is Diana Heinbucher, and I guided you through today's pit, but I will hand over again to Ned and Becky for closing words.
Yeah. Okay, love you, bye.
Okay, love you also, bye.